When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
3-2, swung on, a pop foul back here.
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Don't try and act like you don't know where we be at neither. We in the club all the time. Problem pop off. I just always say that. I think that's a like vintage 50 at the time when 50 was just coming out. You can find me in the club, right? In the club is the song, and at the end of the song, you just, you know. Just don't try and act like you don't know what club we're in. If there's a problem, you know where to find me. You can find me in the club. Bottle full of bub. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We talk sports here. 877-337-6666. Forget about yesterday. It's the most wonderful time. At 6:35 later on tonight, the Yankees will get back out there looking to even up the series. Looking to battle for first place with the Baltimore Orioles. I would bet the Yankees tomorrow, right? You know, after they have a shutout, they usually respond. After they have a stupid loss, they usually respond. Somebody's going to hit a home run. Gleyber Torres, maybe, you know, he's hit so many home runs at Camden Yards. Maybe you put some on Gleyber Torres. Or just don't bet. Don't bet at all. Delete all the apps. It's a waste of time, honestly. And a waste of money. But if you also want to put some change on the Make It Happen Mets, here comes Sean Manaea at 7:10 in Flushing. Sean Manaea will face off against Javier Assad as the Chicago Cubs in second place in the Central at 18-11. Look to send the Mets back down under 500. Bum, bum, bum. And then, down in Carolina, your New York Islanders, they're trying to stay alive, baby. They're trying to fight. They're trying to do a solid to their, you know, Rangers neighbors. They're trying to help out the rest of New York rooting for the Rangers. And maybe they rough up the Carolina Hurricanes a little bit. Maybe they get another win. I mean, they were close to winning down there. Maybe they go back and they have a little bit of confidence they can get a win. We'll see exactly what's going to happen in that series, but I know the series you all are really waiting for, you're all really locked in on at 7 o'clock, never is going to start at 7 p.m. You can place bets up till 7:10 p.m., probably start closer to 7:30. The New York Knicks, Game 5, hosting the Philadelphia 76ers, looking for the gentleman sweep, looking for Knicks in 5. I saw a post from SNY TV that tickets for Game 5, Sixers-Knicks at Madison Square Garden, are over twice as expensive as the next closest ticket price and 65 times more expensive than the cheapest option. The get-in price earlier today, which I'm sure it's probably gone up, $457 if you're looking to see Game 5 as the Knicks lightly bring out the brooms and gentlemen sweep those Philadelphia bums back down the turnpike. I mean, if you're looking at some of these other games, Thunder, Pelicans, get-in price is $7. I just laugh. An NBA playoff game, $7? Yeah, if you're in New Orleans and you want to go to the Smoothie King Arena and sit on the roof, it's $7. Knock yourself out. Pacers Bucks, $29 to get in. Magic at Cavs, $34 to get in. Celtics at Heat, $79 to get in. Lakers Nuggets, I don't think there will be a Game 5 Lakers Nuggets. Let me go check the NBA scores. I don't know if there's going to be a Game 5 ticket for them to buy. Oh, it's 87-87 in the fourth quarter with 8 minutes to go. I should turn that on. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We're talking Knicks. We're talking Isles. We're talking Mets. Of course. Tom is down in Florida. Tom, T-O-M, you're on the Fan in New York.
Keith, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
You know, first off, about the Mets, the fact that it's April 30th and they're at 500 after that 0-5 start.
You'll take it.
Can't even believe that.
You'll take it. And it's been a fun ride.
I'll take it for now.
There's been some moments.
There's definitely been some moments, but you know, the last 4 or 5 games, you know, the offense really has been asleep. You know, but it is what it is. I think they're mostly a 500 team, probably competing for a wild card spot for most of the year. You know, trying to rebuild and then see what happens next year. But you know, that sort of goes into my question. You know, I'm a big Pete Alonso fan, and I love what he's done for the franchise. He's arguably been one of the best hitters the Mets have ever had. But at the same time, I think if this guy is heading into free agency wanting like the same type of money as, say, Freddie Freeman, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really add up. I don't think he's worth that much. I think he's got to put up some better numbers for sure. I mean, he's very hot and cold, and I wish he was a little more consistent.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're looking at Pete Alonso's numbers early on this season, you kind of in a contract year, in a prove it year, in a pay me year, you kind of want a little bit more, but like it's still Pete Alonso's numbers. Like, let me pull up his numbers. He's got over 100 at-bats now. That's another thing. People tell me it's early. All these guys have over 100 at-bats now. It's not early anymore. 20 runs, 26 hits, 8 homers, 14 ribbies, 1 stolen base in there. He's batting .241. His on-base percentage, .333. His OPS, .824. If I look at his career numbers, it's not too far off of what we expect of Pete Alonso.
No, it's not. And I think outside of his rookie year, I mean, probably 2022 was his best year overall in terms of numbers. You know, I think that's when he had his best batting average. I don't know if he hit .270 that year. You know, last year I think he probably was injured for part of that. And, I mean, hitting under .220, in my opinion, is pretty unacceptable for his expected value and, you know,
I think this is twofold, right? Let's say he doesn't have the banner year. I think there's a chance that as a Scott Boras client, and we just saw Scott Boras fail majority of his clients, I think there's a market where, like, he's more inclined to return to the Mets because he doesn't want to go anywhere. There's a market where nobody is really, like, desperate to overpay him. And I think you could possibly get Pete Alonso back on a deal.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely want Pete Alonso back. I mean, there's no...
You're just not paying him Matt Olson money.
Yeah. When he's hitting for power,
Freddie Freeman money,
he's great.
Yeah, Matt Olson signed an 8-year, $168 million contract. And, I mean, we all remember how that all played out with the trade. And then even the Braves, I felt like they got him for the low. They kind of went in there and had a plan and, you know, got him for like $9 million a year. Freddie Freeman makes a little bit more. I forget who else we were comparing Pete Alonso to, but I think there's a chance that you see Pete comes back and it's not for a long deal and it's not for a deal that's too expensive for Steve Cohen, who spoke on how important Pete Alonso is to the team and the fan base.
Absolutely. I think Freddie Freeman, like in terms of annual average value, I think he's making less than 30 a year. And I'm glad you brought Matt Olson, you know, another guy that, you know, hits for power, but I'm pretty sure right now he's like batting .220. So, you know, he's another guy hot and cold, but when he's locked in, you know, he's hitting home runs.
My math
RBIs.
Is off. Olson is making like 21 a year. And so he's got an 8-year, $168 million contract. Freddie Freeman is making like $27 million a year. He's got a 6-year, $162 million. I don't think Pete, and I know Pete signed with Boris, and there's some people talking about Pete getting $300 million. No, there's no way. There's
no
way.
At all.
There's no. No, I guess in the old thinking of, oh, Scott Boras gets these 10-year deals. He's gonna, even with Pete's age, he's not signing that long term of a deal. So I think there's a chance that the Mets can just win the bid.
175.
175 for how many years?
6 years.
Maybe. Maybe just because we're another year further away from when Freddie Freeman signed a couple years back, and every year the money goes up. But yeah, you know what it is with Pete. There's going to be a week where he's got multiple homer games and he gets super hot, and the 8 home runs he has now, there's going to be a week where he hits 4 or 5 homers in a week and pads that number.
I hope so. He's a big part of this team, big part of their success this year, so we'll see.
Yeah, and you got to see how the rest of the year shakes out. We'll see at the deadline. Are they looking down the road a lot? Like, I mean, I was just reading an article about how they might call up Acuna's little brother. Obviously, Kodai Senga's on the way. Let's see if they're competing, and if they're looking at this team like, we got to make some trades at the deadline. We're not looking to do that. Then things could be different. But I honestly think Pete stays, and I don't think it costs you a fortune.
Yeah, I hope not. Yeah, I just hope they can compete this year. And, you know, like I said, they're probably at best a wild card team. And, you know, at some point, I wouldn't mind seeing some of those young guys called up from AAA and just, you know, see what we got.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Tom. The Mets are confusing because it's like, okay, so the way I have basically labeled them, I said in 2023, they let it happen. They let everything happen to them. They had a bunch of losses. They had a whole month where they couldn't win a series. They had just nonsense injuries. Max Scherzer with the alcohol, just a bunch of stuff, just not go right. Tommy Pham, you know, calling the team out, and then the trade deadline fiasco where everybody's like, oh, I want out, or I want to go this place, or send me back to Houston, send me back to the Rangers. So terrible year, whatever. But they still have a core of that team that was here for one of your best years in recent time, 101 wins, almost won the division. You get to the wild card round, not great. But I'm like, this year's team, I believe, is more of the 2022 make-it-happen Mets than the 2023 let-it-happen Mets. But then you watch some of these games, like the Cardinals games this weekend were frustrating. The first one was over before you knew it. And then you look ahead, and it's like, oh, we got Sonny Gray the next day. And then, you know, they almost get swept, but they fight. And that's making it happen. I don't know what they are. I just don't know what they are. Maybe they are what their record says they are, which that's what most people tell you. You are what your record says you are. Maybe they're a middle of the pack, third place in the NL East team and going to hover around 500. We'll see what they do with Sean Manaea on the mound to not drop under 500. I know there's so much talk on the Fan about that. Would they ever see 500 again? Would they dip under 500 again? It's the ebbs and flows. Roller coaster of a baseball season. You know, not too long ago, we were like, hey, you can't take Tyrone Taylor out of lineup. 0-for tonight. You know, not too long ago, we were like, oh, Lindor has found it. Lindor out in L.A. Lindor, 0-for tonight. That's baseball, Susan. It is frustrating. It's a hard game, and it's I can only imagine how hard it is for the players because the fans take it really hard. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Nick in Marlboro, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Nick?
What's going on, Keith? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling. How are you?
Good, good. So I heard you mention the tweet before. What was the Aaron Judge tweet you were looking for? Because I think I found it.
Bro, I couldn't find it, but it was basically a tweet talking about how many runs he's driven in this season, in this lineup, compared to all of last season.
Okay, so I found Jack Curry tweeted earlier today. It says, another gem from our Yes Research crew about the value of having Soto in front of Judge.
That's probably Judge, it, yes.
Yeah, he said Judge already drove in Soto 6 times this year, and that's more than he drove in any teammate last season. There was 3 players that he drove in 5 times last year.
Exactly. So, you know, thank you for that. And that's what I was talking about when we were having a conversation not too long ago about maybe moving Judge back to number 2. And putting Soto behind him, and I'm like, no, like the whole thing is like, you go get Soto. How many times did we see Judge go yard in these last few years batting second that were solo shots where we were like, man, if there was only somebody in front of him. And now with the way Volpe started off this season, you were hoping that that would continue. But then they put him at leadoff, and it has not. And then Soto being Soto, I don't know. I think the lineup is what it is, and Judge just got to be a little bit better. And maybe it gets warmer, and that happens.
Yeah, it almost seems impressive, even though he's not hitting the ball, he's batting 211 because of that reason, because he's batting 211.
What's impressive about it is Juan Soto. Impressive is Juan Soto being on base more than anybody that led off for the Yankees all last year.
That's the Juan Soto effect.
Right.
And I also wanted to bring up, I was going to bring this up originally, but then I heard you talking about the tweets, so I had to bring that up, but nothing made me happier. I'm a big Knicks and Rangers fan, too. So right now, my heart lies with the Yankees, but right now it's really, especially with the Knicks and the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing made me happier than seeing the Philly takeover the other day. Just seeing the tweets, not the FN and Embiid ones, because, you know, you don't root for players to get hurt or anything like that.
But it's fine.
The takeover was something.
It is what it is. You know what I love, too? The amount of media people and pundits that said to the Knicks fans, don't celebrate after game one. What are you guys doing celebrating game one like you won the finals? They went and did the same damn thing in Philadelphia. Like, let people enjoy things and let these young Knicks fans have their team and their moment. They never have this.
Yeah, it is. It's an exciting. I'm hoping that one of the two make a deep run. Obviously, I'm hoping both. I think realistically, you know, the Knicks, everyone was saying that these teams were dodging smoke because none of them wanted to play the Sixers, and that the Knicks were the only ones that weren't dodging the smoke. And now here we are 3-1 with a chance to move on. Watching the rest of these games, too, it seems like the Knicks.
And the Knicks
have a real
chance. Not care. From me watching the Knicks this year, they don't care who it is. They could lose to the Chicago Bulls, come out and beat the Chicago Bulls. They could beat the Bucks. They don't care who's in front of them. There was no shook anything. It's like we fought to get the highest seed that we could get so that we have home court advantage in the world's most famous arena. Whoever comes out of the play-in, so be it. It happened to be one-leg Embiid and his cast of characters, and I think that they're one game away from being done.
Yeah, it feels different this year. You can feel it in the air a little bit. There's a buzz going around that I feel like I haven't experienced in my lifetime. Between the Knicks and the Rangers, hopefully the Yankees could contribute to that too later down the season. But yeah, that's all I have for you. Thank you for taking my call,
man. Nick, thanks for the call and thanks for the tweet that I couldn't find. I think I was searching Brian Hoke's tweets and it was Jack Curry. But speaking of Brian Hoke, he did put out a Juan Soto stat. He said, "Where would the Yankees be without Juan Soto?" He credits MLB Network. From MLB Network, Juan Soto is slashing .324, .437. .588 with 7 home runs, 23 RBIs, and 27 games. He's second among MLB qualifiers in on-base percentage, tied for third in RBIs, and tied for fifth in home runs. If you take away Soto and the rest of if you take away Soto and just look at the rest of the Yankees, they're slashing .224, .311, .352 with the 98 weighted runs created plus. So it's just like, man, the Soto effect is massive. And it's just crazy right now what he's been able to do in his first month as a Yankee. And it's been more than I think we were expecting or as advertised, really, because, you know, how can you not expect the generational Juan Soto? He's been better than I think a lot of people thought, especially people that hadn't seen him every day and weren't as familiar with him. The thing is, Judge hasn't been Judge. So the whole tandem of Soto Judge 2024, make the Yankees champions again. Soto Judge 2024, make the stadium loud again. I've seen both of those t-shirts. Well, Soto's doing his thing for the most part. Judge is there, then he's not there. He had a good bounce back weekend in Milwaukee, and then not so much tonight. Hopefully he gets it going because they absolutely need him to get it going against the Orioles, who... they hit a ton of home runs. Like, I don't know. We'll see what Nestor does, but I don't know. So let's see. Pitcher's duel ends in a walk-off bomb. So the Braves and Mariners game is final. I know I saw Ross in Burton County kind of, you know, tip me off earlier. Hey, something special is going on. in Seattle. Well, Seattle gets the best of Atlanta. I guess somebody was pitching a no-no. I'll catch up on that, but I'm kind of off the baseball conversation. We're talking Knicks, we're talking Rangers, and letting people enjoy things. Like, that's the type of time I'm on, especially for these kids. It's always the old men. Oh, what are you guys celebrating? Oh, from my experience, you don't celebrate game one. Man, let these kids get their reels and their TikToks. Like I said, some of these kids, they didn't go to the game. Some of these kids are just hanging outside of Madison Square Garden waiting for the game to end. There's no way all these children have $500 to get in there. They're waiting for the post-game celebration. So what? Let people have fun. It's sports. It's entertainment. It's supposed to be a break from your life in New York City that has a ton of nonsense going on every way that you turn in New York. So I'm never going to be the one to tell you when to celebrate or not to celebrate. I'm also not going to be the one to tell you don't look ahead. I already said for the Rangers fans, yo, sweep. Start rooting for the Isles. Get some rest. And look ahead to playing Carolina, and that's okay, right? Look ahead to getting Filip Hedl back, and that's okay. Dream. Start to visualize what it's like, right? Like, what's the point of thinking, oh, we got to slow it down? Right now you're not playing. Job is done in the first round. So start to dream. Start to hope. Let's go to Sasha in Norwalk, Connecticut on the fan. What's up, Sasha? You got it.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling. How are you?
Listen, I just want to say, I think you are awesome. That's the first thing I want to say. You're awesome.
Me or JR?
You are.
Oh, okay. You know who this is?
You were. Yeah.
Keith McPherson, KM to 2 a.m., KM to a.m. sometimes.
Is this Keith?
Yeah, just making sure. I don't know. Just in case somebody thought this was JR Sports Brief.
Yeah. No, so I called about... So I went to UConn, so I'm more of like a basketball, like college basketball.
How could you not be?
Knicks are killing it. Knicks are killing it, but I'm a Yankee girl. I'm a Rangers fan.
Yeah.
You actually just talked to my boyfriend like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, shout out to him. Who's your boyfriend?
Tim.
Okay, shout out to him.
Yeah, and he dared me to call, so I did. But
awesome.
I adore you. I think you're awesome. You crack me up.
Oh, great. Well, I'm here to entertain, and you never know. I mean, I jokingly did the JR Sports Brief thing. I know JR's never on at 12:24 on a Monday night.
I think you're the best. That's all I want to say.
Hey, say it louder for the people in the back. The more people that call and say, Keith is the best, word's been traveling
Keith
around.
Keith is the best.
Word travels.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Sasha. Yeah, and I think a couple nights ago I said, it's ladies' night. It's always ladies' night on the fan. I'm like, I usually get some female callers, and I joked about being married with a kid and how I'm washed. I don't get any female callers. I do, though. I'm just a good guy, so let me not go down that road. But shout out to Sasha and Kathy for joining the show. Sometimes I have Miriam from Forest Hills join me. Sometimes I'll get a random, lady caller that wants to chime in, and you should. This is the fan for all of us, not just these guys that call the fan every single day and watch all of these games. That's like most of us, though. But, yeah, let people enjoy things. It's a good time because we've had the converse. We've had the Knicks miss the playoffs. Can't really say that about the Rangers. They're there a lot. But Isles fans have missed the playoffs. I think hockey, we've been blessed the last few years, but even the Devils getting in the mix. Like, local hockey, even though they say nobody cares about hockey, Boomer, shout out to Boomer, too. Boomer had the birthday last week. Now Boomer's got the extension. What'd they extend Boomer to? Like, 2034? I have no idea. How old is Boomer now? I have no idea. Okay. So Boomer is 63. They just extended him for 10 more years. He's rocking till he's Steve Summers' age on the fan. 877-337-6666. They took him off of NFL Today for Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan should be quarterbacking the Jets. Remember Salicata said that the Jets should go after Matt Ryan? And then Matt Ryan's like, no, they shouldn't. I'm going to be next to Tiki Barber in the booth. I'm done playing. I've made enough money. I'm tired of getting hit. 877, you know the number to dial. We're talking about the Knicks and the Rangers. It's the most wonderful time. The Yankees and the Mets are going to lose a ton of games. Between the two of them, they're going to lose a lot. I don't know. If I had to guess, they're going to lose somewhere between 170-plus game. It is what it is. But, you know, it's frustrating. I felt like both the Mets and Yankee losses last night were super frustrating. Just need better. But you chalk it up as one of those losses they're going to have. You watch them come back, hopefully, and take the series. But they're regular season games. It's the first month of the season. We're freshly into the second month of the season. We're not in the first month of the season. We're at the end of the road for the Knicks and the Rangers. So, like, this is paramount. This is priority. This has got to be front of mind. I'm staying on my original take. And I actually got to go back. I just never had the time to do this. But I'm like, I remember I, like, put out there on Twitter, hey, if you go listen to my show on podcast, you don't have to stay up till 2 in the morning. And not for nothing, if you go back and listen to the pod, you're going to be like, Keith is the best. Keith be saying some, he was actually right. What was I telling you guys leading up to the draft? Michael Penix Jr. is the second best quarterback. He might arguably turn into being the best quarterback coming out of this draft. The Falcons agreed. The Falcons said, we can't pass this guy up. We don't care about that $100 million that we gave to Kirk Cousins. There's a bunch of other things I said. Malik Nabers was the pick. And at first I said, nah, don't get Malik Nabers because who's going to throw him the ball? You worry about that later. You're paying Daniel Jones this year. You signed Drew Lock this year. If all else fails, Tommy DeVito won you 3 games. Somebody's going to get the ball to that young man. You don't pass up on an LSU receiver out of wide receiver university who put up better numbers than the Jarvis Landry's, Odell Beckham Jr.'s, Jamar Chase's, Justin Jefferson's. You know what I'm saying? So we'll get into more draft conversation, but these Knicks Rangers fans, you guys get priority. It should be in the front of your mind that the Knicks are going into Game 5 with the opportunity to gentlemen sweep the reigning MVP. The Rangers have their feet kicked up right now. They're rooting for the Islanders to not lose and end that series, and it's a pretty good time to be a New York sports fan. Let's go to Ricky in Saddlebrook. What's up, Ricky? You got it.
Keith, the dogs are out. The dogs are out.
Yeah, the Knicks dogs, not the Yankees dogs. I remember telling Loogie, if the Knicks continue to play well and the Yankees struggle, you're going to, your dog thing, the, you know, the tables are going to turn back to you.
No, it's true. It's true. Hey, but listen real quick, man. The Knicks, game 3 was a fluke. You know, they want to win at home. They want to win game 5 at home. It hasn't happened more than, what, 25 years? It was bound to happen.
I mean, Game 3, I couldn't watch Game 3 because it immediately started with Joel Embiid MMA trying to hit everybody from into the face, into your groin area, trying to pull guys down. And I'm like, they're letting the biggest guy on the floor, the reigning NBA MVP, play like this? Of course, he goes off for 50. You chalk it up as, okay, that's the one that you get. That was the first one. They make adjustments. The second time around, the whistles aren't the same. You can't do some of those shenanigans. Even though he was still playing dirty, it wasn't going his way the second time around. Knicks go up 3-1, and I think that they close it out tonight in the Garden because, you know what? Embiid can't go on. He can't continue like this, and your thoughts become things. It's in their mind that they're about to lose. It's in their mind that even if they do get out of this round, they're limping, and it's just Embiid. Like, I just think once you feel that Garden energy and these fans that can't wait to see the Knicks move on to the next round, win one game, you know that the Knicks are going to play hard, and the fans are behind
them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is a championship to win. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Pacers are a great team. They're an amazing team. They're young. But honestly, we should walk right through them like we did all year this year. And what's up with all these guys like Sal Licata and BT? We're saying,
you know, I don't know. I really don't talk to the other hosts about their takes. I really don't even see them. My show starts at 10:30, 10 o'clock tonight. I come in here, I talk to the producers. I don't see them. I wake up and I see their takes on the internet. I wake up and I listen. I try to listen, but I'm like you. If I hear something on the radio that I'm not getting jiggy with, I turn it off. I watch the TV. I do something else. But
The Knicks beat the Celtics at home twice. They beat their butts really bad once.
Yeah, I just can't with the. I hate the Celtics. I'm with you. I watch those games. I also don't understand the boot licking, the ass kissing. Like, the Celtics are just God's gift to Earth, and we all just have to bow to them. It's a foregone conclusion that they're going to go to the finals.
They had, like, 63s on us. They beat us once at home, and they beat us by 4 points, and that's because they broke the record in a half of most points in the three. I mean, most threes in a half. I mean, these guys really aren't that good. They really aren't.
I can't wait for them to fold like they do every year. But, yeah, I hate the Celtics. I've gone on and on about their parquet floors. Ugly, fake garden, TD Garden. They sold the rights to their garden. Lucky the Leprechaun. Maybe, oh, you can't touch, you can't step on Lucky. you hope as a Knicks fan that you see them in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Maybe the Knicks, the Yankees take the underground tunnel for the celebration.
There's an underground tunnel?
No, these guys get to these sporting events so fast. These New Yorkers, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you heard me say that. I'm like, how do they get from Yankee Stadium? Just think about driving from Yankee Stadium on a Saturday or a Sunday, pulling up to go see the Rangers or Knicks game. How do they end up like playing a game, showering up, talking to the media, and then they're at the game? Helicopter? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But Keith, you're amazing, dude. Keep doing your thing. Appreciate you.
Thanks for the call, Ricky. Maybe they just, I don't know, maybe there's a police escort, right? Juan Soto was in the back of this all-black Cadillac Escalade, move out of the way. I just thought that's, you know, and we've seen that a lot. And the reporter's like, well, Gleyber Torres just ran out of here in a Panarin jersey. They're on their way to the garden. I'm like, how? How are they going to get there? If you look at on Waze, it says a 45-minute drive from the Bronx. I don't know. They get there, though, and then they're front row. Must be nice. Must be nice. Anyway, yeah. I don't know what the other hosts say or do. I mean, I know what they say, but I don't know. They don't text me and say, hey, Keith, I'm going to go on today and throw water all over the Knicks. They don't hit me up like that. I wake up usually from doing this show. Well, to be honest with you, I go to sleep like 3 o'clock, 3:30. Then my son is up at 6:30 a.m. There's a 0% chance that I don't wake up. One, just parental paranoia. If you know, you know. Two, just I live in an apartment. So my son's wall and my wall, it's thin. As soon as he, I'm awake. My wife, though, is great. And she's always like, rest, because she's sleeping. My wife, by the time I leave at night, my wife is in bed sleeping. My cat is laying on the bed. My son is sleeping. People in my house are there by 9:30, 10 o'clock. I pull up at 3:30. I better not make a sound. Like, I better brush my teeth, wash my face, get in the bed without waking up my wife, my son, or my cat, or there's hell to pay. And, like, I am the big dog. I am man of the house. But you don't want to mess with those jokers when they wake up. So I go in, try and be quiet. Some nights I can't fall asleep till, like, 5. But what I'm saying is I don't hear Boomer and Gio in the morning, ever. Ever. I might catch the end, and for some reason – there's always like a weird like balls reference or like a penis reference at the end. That's like all I'll catch. The end, they'll like play a clip of like Al talking about like man butter or something. I'm like, what were they talking about? I don't know. And then it'll go into BT and Sal, and I'll hear BT and Sal's initial thoughts or whatever. And then I'll usually pop in on Twitch to say something to the people in the Twitch chat. But like, it's the first show that I hear of the day, and I also have to get up, eat, make some coffee, check my emails, make sure I'm ready to go and start putting notes together for my show. So I'm in and out of the show. And then I'll hear Evan and Tiki as well, in and out. But like, I don't, when I hear, you know, multiple people call me because I'm the nighttime host and they'll reference like Ross did, the last caller did, like, you know, what Sal Licata said. Sal is great at what he does. Sal gets the most views and most attention out of all of us. You may disagree. You may not like what he says and does, but I've always said this about Sal. I don't agree with most. One night I got on and I listed all the things Sal has been wrong about. Because I think it is honorable to be that wrong so much and keep going at it. Keep adding to it. Like, I heard Sal say that he thought he could do a better job blocking than Evan Neal. He's like, put me in there. Like, no. You don't want to do that. He said that Tommy DeVito is better than Daniel Jones. No, not in any universe. He's not. He said last year the 2023 Yankees were winning a World Series. The NL East is over and everything else. But what I give Sal a ton of credit for is he thinks for himself. And he doesn't just come on and say anything. He'll say something, and then he'll back it up with what he saw, why he thinks that. And then you guys can call and disagree, and BT can disagree, and then 4 hours goes by, and then they come up with the next one. The Malik Nabers thing. He said he thought Malik Nabers was a stupid pick. Nah. I mean, I understand how you could go that way. Malik Nabers, a great pick. Same thing with Olufashanu. I think that, or Fashanu. I was calling him Fashanu, but I heard him say Fashanu. So the emphasis is on the first A. I think the Jets and Giants had good drafts. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what Sal thinks. Let's see how they play football. Let's see how they coach their players. Let's see how this schedule shakes out. Let's see who they have to play, when they have to play them. Can't wait for football, but we got to wait. Derek is down in Louisiana on the Fan. No, he's not. I got a break here. It happens. You get on a roll, but we got a break. We got to play some other sounds. Maybe you'll hear First in Pod. They've been running that a lot. Like, you know, it was mentioned in the broadcast. It's not even, this is Michael Jordan. He's going out there. He's not even fazed. Maybe you get it done. Maybe you guys know what I'm talking about. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Anyway, I just don't want to do any more work. I've worked for 64 years, and in July I'll be 86. So, you know, let's face it, my time has come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Couple words of the verse drop. Can we forget about the things I said when I was drunk? What else? Didn't mean to call you back. Yes, you did. You tell the truth when you drink. I can't remember what was said or what you threw. Oh, convenient. Please tell you why? Get out of here. Keith McPherson on the Fan. A couple minutes before the 1 o'clock hour, we are, you guessed it, talking about sports again. People are calling and saying things, and I'm saying things, and we just do this all the time, every single day. It doesn't change. The Fan in New York, 877-337-6666. I'll tell you something else. I think earlier I said there won't be a game five, losing track of the games already. There won't be a game six in that Lakers series. The gentleman's sweep has occurred. Jamal Murray, that's a bad man. Does it to him again. Hits the game-winning shot to not have to go back to L.A. Denver wins round one, 4-1, and gets LeBron James. LeBron James and the Lakers up out of there. At least they won one game. I thought they were getting swept. And I mentioned how funny it is that you can go see the Pelicans at the Smoothie King Arena if you wanted to sit with your head on the roof for $7 tonight. OKC sweeps them 4-0. And I think Boston's on their way to the gentleman's sweep. They beat the Heat 102-88 tonight to go up 3-1. I mean, Derek White had 38 points. Let me look at this box score. I don't fear the Boston Celtics. Mark my words. Either somebody's going to get hurt, which I don't wish injury on anybody, but it's the playoffs. That happens every year. Or somebody's just going to go absolutely cold that they're depending on. Kristaps Porzingis has not been a big factor early on. You get 38 from Derek White, 17 from Jaylen Brown, 20 from Jason Tatum. I guess, I mean, if the guy's got the hot hand, he shot almost 60%. Eight made threes. Derek White, I didn't even know was really like that. I guess the last 2 years told you he was like that. But, yeah, the Celtics. I think they're a game away from ending that series. And we'll have the Knicks. And now we have a full rack of Knicks calls. Before we get to it, I was going to go to Derek down in Louisiana before the break. I got to go to Derek now. You're on. What's up, man?
What up, Keith? How you doing, man?
Good. Can't complain.
Listen, I love what my Knicks are doing. just let's just keep it. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Keep scrapping.
Yeah.
The fans, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's just go ahead and enjoy this. That's what I've been a New York fan all my life. I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but I love all my New York teams. I know you guys are supposed to have lines to one or the other and all that stuff, but I'm from New York.
Yeah,
I love
you can love them all, especially if you leave. Yeah. You know, when you leave, it makes the heart grow fonder.
No. I'm just down here on vacation. I'm all not right. leaving. I'm still all right. But listen. I just want to touch on the Giants real quick. Everybody keeps getting on Daniel Jones about the injuries. Every player that gets in between those lines are capable of getting injured.
Yeah.
What we need to do is support. When they put on that blue and put on that Giants helmet, you need to support them. All this yelling and talking about how he's this and he's that and saying there's power in the words that you say. So we keep putting ourselves on, oh, he's going to get hurt. Oh, it's guaranteed. Who's not going to get hurt? Patrick Mahomes, not saying that. I want that to happen. He can get hurt. Everybody can get hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt first round of the playoffs against the Jaguars last year and went on to win the Super Bowl.
Right, but if you're a real Giant fan or Jet fan or Knicks fan or Mets, Yankees, whatever the case is, support. You
positive energy, sure. Positivity. It helped the Mets. It could help Daniel Jones. I'll say this. Giants fans, man, they lift up everybody but Daniel Jones. You don't know how many calls we had talking about Tommy DeVito is better than Daniel Jones. He might be the next Brock Purdy, Tom Brady, and then even Tyrod Taylor. Before we got to Tommy DeVito, oh, Tyrod Taylor is a much better thrower, much better downfield thrower of the ball. He's better than Daniel Jones right now. Why isn't he the guy? So they're going to build up Drew Lock. Wait for it. Drew Lock is going to be the guy in a few months.
I listen to the fan all the time. All the time. I just got back to Louisiana today. But prior to this, I listen to the fan all the time, 24 hours a day.
So you know.
To everybody. And the thing that gets me is that the confidence, just like when you're playing basketball, if you're playing with, you got your teammate, if he's messing up, you lift him up. You pat, come on, man, don't worry.
Have to. Yeah.
Keep going. But if he's messing up, you ain't going to sit there and cuss him out because you don't want to shatter his confidence. Now, you know New York fans can get real crazy. And I love them because I am a fan. But let's go ahead and cheer these guys on, man. Try to make – maybe they can play above their natural ability because they feel good and they feel confident. They hear the cheers instead of the boos. Let's just try it. I mean, what can we lose? I mean, we tried the booing them. That hasn't worked. Poor Zach, he's stuck in Denver now. He probably need therapy. But I'm just saying, you know, I mean, I'm not saying he was the best in the world, but he didn't get all the support either way.
Nah.
Not just from the fans and not from the coaching staff. And that was a 21-year-old kid, and we expected so much out of him. I mean, not saying that he didn't play a part in it. The point is that we didn't help the situation either. So let's try giving Daniel Jones a little support and see what happens. Let's just try it. If it don't happen, you know, we've got to lose.
He could use all the support as he's still trying to recover and be ready on time for camp, which I don't believe he's going to be recovered in time. I don't think they're going to clear him and he'll be ready for contact.
Whoever's getting the center, we have to support them. We can't the same thing with Lenore and all of the Mets. You sit here, all these crazy.
If you don't support whoever's playing quarterback for the Giants, they're not going to win that many games. They could be a last place team in that division easily.
Right, but it doesn't help. I mean, maybe we can steal a win or two. Look, the Jets beat Philadelphia last year.
Oh, any given Sunday for sure. Anybody? I mean, the Giants beat the Packers, and the Packers went on to almost get to the NFC Championship. Should have.
Right. So if you just try and encourage these dudes, as long as they're wearing your jersey. Now, like, what's the name? Saquon Barkley, Saquon, whatever. The thing, he's in Philly. Yeah, we got to support him the more. You say,
boo, traitor, turncoat.
Exactly.
Take the money and run.
Exactly.
Dead to me.
Dead to us. But the guys that we have in our jerseys, because we really cheering for the team. We cheering for that.
Always.
That Jets or that Giants or that Knicks. I mean, we may not be crazy about the dude just wearing the jersey at the time. But let's go ahead and just try it and lift them up and see what confidence will do for them guys. Them confidence will go to them dudes out there and play above their head. And that might bring us some championships instead of everybody boo-hooing. I mean, people are writing Daniel Jones off before the season, before we even get to training camp.
They thought they were about to get Drake May.
Yeah, well, we stuck with him now. I mean, we have him. And, I mean, listen, man, I'm not going to hold up your time, man. I just want all the Jets and Giants fans and all them guys to know. Let's try supporting just a little bit. I know we want winners, but we got to support them. Let's make the best come out of them. Because, listen, if I was out there you was booing me, I probably wouldn't feel too good about it. You know, I'd be ready, you know, I'd probably be ready to just, you know, give up myself.
Not me. Thanks for the call, Derek. $40 million a year, $10 million, $1 million a year. I'll give you my coordinates. I'll let you know where I'm going every single day. If there's a job out there that I can have where I'll get paid at least $1 million a year, and people, the one thing people can do to me is boo me. Hey, I'm going to get a sandwich. If y'all want to meet me over at the deli, I'll be there at 3:30. Boo all you want. Is the check going to clear? I wouldn't care about that. But I know, positive energy. We're going to keep, it worked for Trey Turner in the Philadelphia. It worked for Francisco Lindor a little bit, then it wore off. So I guess tomorrow, or later tonight rather, first at bat for Francisco Lindor. Get the rally pimp. Get the dance crew. Everybody, woo, whoop it up. And maybe he'll go 4-for-4 with two homers. Nah, I don't know. I hear you. I just know this is New York. And, like, this is the hardest place to do anything. If I can make it there, you most likely can't. It's tough. So, like, to much is given, to whom much is given, much is expected. Zach Wilson, you were given a lot. You were given the whole franchise. You were given a lot of money. And I guess it was earned from BYU, but nah, you got to come here and earn it. You got to lock in. You got to produce. And Daniel Jones, I think Daniel Jones has had a tough go at it every single year. It's something else. Drafted 6th overall. They overdrafted you. Come in and be the next Eli Manning. No problem. Oh, you got different head coach, different coordinator. Again. And then you finally break through when the coach and GM decide not to pick up your rookie option, which would have cost them only $22 million. And then they end up giving you the bag after you come through, win that playoff game, have arguably your best year, and then you get hurt again. Neck, knee. Now what's the next thing for Daniel Jones? I don't know. Fans are off of him. Some fans were ready to have J.J. McCarthy in here. I'm telling you guys will be pumped for Drew Lock, and you'll be supporting him. But it's a rough go at it. You know they're not booing? They're not booing the Knicks. Julius Randle's not out there with the thumbs down. You're not booing the Knicks. I'm telling you, that place is going to be lit. That place is going to be ready to explode tonight in anticipation of a Game 5 series win, Knicks in 5 gentlemen sweep. Get ready. 7th Ave, 33rd. There are going to be hundreds of people in the streets. What's the weather? Is the weather still going to be warm? Or is the temperature dropping? Because we get these, like, fool's springs, fool's summers. Nah, it'll still be warm enough. This is New York. There's going to be a bunch of people in the streets anticipating a Knicks win, series over, advancing. Let's go to Kenny in Manhattan on the Fan to talk about it. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how you doing, Keith? This is my first time calling, and I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Knicks play better without Julius Randle because I'm so tired of seeing him dribble that spin he does into the waiting arms of the defender. You know, I'm tired of it. Please.
They've evolved.
I like the
cohesiveness
of who they got now. I like who they got. I like OG. I like Precious. I like those cats. You know what I'm saying?
Josh Hart.
Off the bench.
DiVincenzo. Miles McBride.
You know, I love watching the Knicks, but with Randle, he's like a different breed. He's like, you don't know what he's going to do. Sometimes he'll perform well, and sometimes he acts like a madman. Like,
I changed my stance. When we first heard that they weren't going to have Julius Randle, I got on the air drinking that Nets fan haterade, and I said, they're cooked. They can't win without Julius Randle. They'll probably be out in the first round. Then I thought about it, and I went and looked at the box scores and how they're playing. I'm like, they haven't played with Julius Randle in months. This is not the same team. They're not relying on Julius Randle at all. Their identity has changed.
They play better without him. You know, if he doesn't come back, I'll be happy. You know, get some
next year. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be how far they go.
And a Diet Pepsi for him, I'll be fine. he can be away from the team because I think they play a much harder brand of basketball, a much smarter. Because, you know, I like Julius a little bit, but he does things that just makes me want to, like, break my TV. I'm like, what? How'd you possibly do that?
He's Julius Randle. You know, he's a 25-10 guy. Sometimes he's got to force that 25, and he's got to have it his way. But now you have a team where it, I think you got a good look at what these Knicks are and can be. If they're double, triple teaming Jalen Brunson, then Josh Hart, knock down your shots. DiVincenzo, hit your shots.
I just have one more thing, Keith, with the Phoenix Suns, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what are they going to do? I mean, they got three. It seems like they're top heavy. They got
They said they're sending Devin Booker to the Knicks. Stephen A. Smith came out there today and said Devin Booker wants to be in New York.
Bring him on. But I hope it doesn't mess up the chemistry because I like Brunson with the ball in his hand, you know? I don't like too many people that needs the ball all the time.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to pursue Devin Booker. If anything, Devin Booker stays in Phoenix as the youngest one of the big three and arguably the best player out of that big three, and then they try and build around him a little differently. Thanks for the call, Kenny. Now you give me a little bit of time to laugh and talk about Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. Man, the whole KD to Phoenix thing, it came off the heels of Kyrie Irving blowing up the team, requesting a trade, and the Nets saying, oh, all right, yeah, we'll send you to Dallas. But when they made the move with Dallas to bring Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie over, they made that move anticipating those two players would be playing with Kevin Durant. I don't know why they thought Kevin Durant would want to stay since he had requested a trade earlier than the trade deadline last year. He requested a trade during free agency in the summer, called out the GM, called out the head coach, called out the Nets, and then Joe Tsai backed his guys over Kevin Durant. You knew KD wanted out. So here, Kevin Durant again. I remember there was times on The Fan where I was saying Kevin Durant is a GOAT. And if Kevin Durant is able to win a championship here in Brooklyn, what are they going to say about him? That was like 3 years ago. That's never going to happen, and I don't think he's ever going to win another championship. He just left Golden State, not for greener pastures, to team up with his friend Kyrie Irving, and then when things got rocky over here and you couldn't depend on Kyrie, and James Harden already forced his way out, he wanted out as well, and now you hear stuff about how he was never comfortable, how you know, who's the leader of the team, the coach. Kevin Durant never felt comfortable in his role alongside Devin Booker and Bradley Beal this season. Bro, you're one of the best all time. There's always excuses. He got relegated to the corner too much. Yeah, just hit that three from over there. Frank Vogel and the Suns. I wish him no luck because the Brooklyn Nets own those picks. Stay down till you come up, Nets world. We'll be back at some point. And I got a break. It's already 1 o'clock. I'll be back at some point. Call me up, though. 877- 337-6666 KM to 2 AM returns right after this.